times. Mm. Although the man who was then pictured with his golden gun then claimed that he had shot the ex-dictator, but essentially Gaddafi is dead, but the circumstances behind his death are still yet to be revealed, with his body being held in a butcher's freezer in Misrata.
That sounds far too much like a gangster movie.
Yeah, but obviously just, you know, no animals were harmed in the killing and transportation of Gaddafi's body, just to keep all the animal lovers happy.
Yeah. I'm disappointed he wasn't captured alive, because his appearance at The Hague could have been primetime viewing. You could imagine what he could have come up with. He's just like, well, there's a plague of bees in the country, and we're just trying to shoot the bees off the protesters. And people got caught in the crossfire.
Just shouting down a large human rights court, much like Saddam Hussein.
It would just be... It could actually be like the replacement for the X Factor. Yeah. Just have the three judges. So Gaddafi, what talents can you bring? I can bring a genocide, destroying a country's national resources, and
Gaddafi, stop! It's three no's.
Apparently, his final words were "Don't shoot." Quite fitting.
I wonder if he listened to any of all the other people saying, "Please don't shoot me," when he was shooting at them.
No. The same results, I suppose. Mm. The NTC has said an inquiry will be held into his killing, with many sources in the new Libyan government stating that the inquiry will merely just end the story of his regime and lead to no arrests. Much like a FIFA inquiry, then.
Yeah, Blatter, calling him out again. We're on Libya, but we'll call
Blatter. He still hasn't responded to any of our letters.
No.
Quite rude.
Yeah, he's just a terrible human being.
The NTC has said that a period of stability will be essential in Libya as NATO withdraws its military resources and a new constitution will be drawn up, with elections taking place as soon as possible. The Arab Spring is still going on, though. Next week, Syria.
It's not a way, because it's just still depressing. One thing I would like to point out is, though, we have just called Seth Blatter a terrible human being when discussing Gaddafi being killed.
Comparatively, their crimes, you know. He's ruined football for everyone.
Yes, football genocide.
Gaddafi only harmed Libya. Of course, don't think that.
Well, sadly, Gaddafi is gone, so...
No more insanity. And soon to follow will be Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And then the world will be... The laughter will have died.
No, Chavez. Chavez is still left. Cancer hasn't claimed him yet. Hold in there, Chavez.
We need funnies. We need dictator funnies.
To be fair, on one of the BBC blogs on Twitter, they actually said, is this the end of the buffoon dictator? It's like,
there'll always be one.
Yeah.
Putin will be around for a long time, I suspect.
He's not a dictator of sorts. He just hangs around in government when he shouldn't.
Well,
and then changes the constitution so that no one can get rid of it.
That's dictator-like.
Shh. Don't tell the Kremlin.
Shut up. Do you hear what they did the last time people had a go at them? They poisoned a guy. I don't want to die. But obviously, we need to go to an obituary for Colonel Gaddafi. So we're just going to go through the 7th of June, 1942. To the 20th of October 2011. He was born in wartime, and he died in wartime. Gaddafi was the longest Arab ruling leader. He was the longest non-royal leader since 1900. The craziest colonel. And the most melted face of all.
Eddie Van Halen was constantly around Libya, somewhere melting faces.
We thought, just in honour of him, we should play a song that... It just says what is all in our hearts, really, about Colonel Gaddafi.
It's the man with the golden gun.
Rest in peace, Gaddafi. Rest in peace.
Pieces. So apparently the song decided to finish like 2 minutes early than it should have done. Very sorry for that slight radio silence there.
Much like Gaddafi, it went out early. No, it didn't. It stayed for a very long time. It's the, you know, called the brutal civil war.
Let's move on to the next story.
Oh. We've got Get Back in the Empire news now. On Tuesday night, whilst Republican candidates in Nevada were debating such American issues as nuclear waste disposal and the immigration status of Mitt Romney's Gardner, American and British lawyers in Philadelphia were taking on a far more fundamental topic. Namely, just what did Thomas Jefferson think he was doing?
Terrible person.
Bloody upstart. Yeah, basically, as most people know, on the 4th of July, 1776, America's founding fathers approved a simple document penned by Jefferson that enumerated their grievances and announced themselves as a sovereign nation.
And the world's gone downhill since.
Well, obviously that's the Declaration of Independence, but it was a blow for freedom, a call to war and a founding of a new empire, apparently. And it was also totally illegitimate and illegal. And at least there was, you know, lawyers from the UK arguing this point at a debate at Philadelphia's Ben Franklin Hall, where British lawyers argued that these issues could have been dealt with in internal reform, whilst Americans say that a government may only rule whilst the people consent to it. Thus, they were well within their rights to declare independence, which the British countered with the Texas issue, with some independence movements in Texas wanting to break away from the United States. It sounds pretty boring, and to be honest, it is. It's just the fact that they then had a vote, and it was in America, so obviously the Americans won. To which the American crowd, and quoting, cheered with happiness. As if they'd somehow, you know, if they'd lost this vote, we were going to send some redcoats over with some tea to avenge their rudeness in Boston a few hundred years ago.
So essentially, the idea of this story is that their Declaration of Independence is completely illegal and doesn't really make them a sovereign state. And then they voted on whether they should continue to be a state, not allowing us to have a vote, and won.
Yeah.
So much like Major League Baseball teams are the world champions because they are the only people who play in the world.
Yeah,
pretty much the American way.
But it was just that they were happy that they'd won a vote where it was only Americans voting. It's like if you'd have voted to come back into the empire, then really, you probably didn't want to leave in the first place.
Yeah.
We're not going to come over America and, you know, take over. I know we do have, you know, a few American listeners, but we're staying here, don't worry.
Well, for now.
The redcoats aren't coming, calm down.
I would say we should probably take them back. Well, because you just look at some of the things America get up to and you think, don't they need a bit of a controlling, civilised influence?
A guiding hand.
Yeah. Who's best to bring that kind of influence but Britain? We've done it many times before.
Yeah, and we've ruined quite a lot of the world as well.
Shut up.
Could it get any worse?
Maybe not.
No, it's not going to
We'll leave it. We'll leave it for now. We'll put it on the back burner, and if America step out of line, we're going
to invade. I'm a bit busy for an empire, to be honest. Yeah.
They'd at least have a healthcare system, though, if we took them over.
True. We'll put it on the back burner. Yeah. Put it on the back burner.
Leave it for now. We've got twill to do, so.
Occupy Wall Street, Sesame Street, and occupy wherever you want. News. Now, Ben, I'll leave this over to you.
Well, from New York, London, Sydney, Cologne, Bucharest, there has been a wave of protests against politicians recently. Banks and financial institutions also feeling a bit of the heat as well. Anyone watching the coverage will repeatedly have seen one repeated thing, which is a stylized mask of Guy Fawkes with the mustache and pointy beard. Even WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange was wanting to wear one of these masks when he was doing a speech at the London Stock Exchange, but took it off because the police asked him to. So he was, you know, a nice upstanding citizen and was done as he told. But these were first thought to have been used by the notorious activist group Anonymous in 2008, who come from a little website called 4chan on the internet, during protests against Scientology and things like that. But it's since spread throughout the global protest movement, and the BBC did this piece on it because they were trying to get to kind of like to the bottom of where this mask originally came from and how now it's kind of synonymous with political reform. And originally the masks are from the 2006 film V for Vendetta, which is, if you've seen that, is it's a tale based on a graphic novel on which it's a man fighting against a system, really. And they sort of used Guy Fawkes as the hero because he failed to blow up Parliament in 1605. So the hero is now this guy who takes on the persona of Guy Fawkes. And so the Guy Fawkes Masters quote says, "has now become a common brand and a convenient place to use in a protest against tyranny." And the creator David Lloyd, who and Alan Moore, the comic strip writer who originally did it, are both kind of happy that it's being used, but in a popular culture kind of way. And basically, it's just a funny little story about this mask that's come from absolutely nowhere and is now kind of synonymous with political reform.
Yeah. Would you say Guy Fawkes is really a revolutionary, trying to kill a lot of people?
And failing. Is the ultimate thing that they're all going to fail as well, like Guy Fawkes did?
Yeah. And plus, having been on 4chan, do you want to copy what they do half the time?
I would just like to say that he was also in V for Vendetta, and they won.
Well, that's because it's a story.
Yeah, well, still.
Yeah. Plus, there's not really a guy around there who can just, like, do epic kung fu moves and...
Yeah.
Gets punched in the face in the mask and the guy just rebounds off.
They've got George Takei on their side, though. And he was in Star Trek. He was
again, that's a story.
Oh.
Ultimately...
It's just basically all about the Occupy movement, which is
still going on. It's kind of drying up a bit, though, isn't it, now?
Well, it's drying up as in they're not protesting as much, mainly because they're all getting arrested.
Yeah.
With media being arrested for reporting the news, which yeah. I didn't know you could. But there was also a story in The Guardian this week from Naomi Wolf, who I'm sure some people know of, who was arrested because she asked the police why they were arresting people. And the police said that you're not allowed to protest on the sidewalk without actual a permit, apparently.
A protest permit.
Apparently. To which she then asked someone who was the organiser of this event for the Huffington Post, which said, no, they're allowed to, as long as they don't obstruct people walking in, we don't mind.
It also says there that it's illegal to use real megaphones.
Yes, so they've been doing... Yeah, this is what the police have said. They did a thing called the human mic, which is where the crowd just all shout out what the previous word what the speaker said, because apparently that's not illegal. And because Naomi Wolf was kind of going, what you're doing is illegal, people are allowed to protest, they arrested her.
Not illegal at all.
And this, apparently, you know, you're not allowed to have a megaphone, you're not allowed to protest, and then...
If you are wanting to protest, you have to get a permit.
Yeah, that's just... bureaucracy. Yeah. It always happens.
Red tape.
You must protest at the right time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not allowed.
Who was it who said that people are allowed to protest as long as they don't make noise? Was that Gaddafi?
Yeah, it was Gaddafi.
Yeah. He says as long as they do it in their own homes and they do it quietly.
Trying to take a nap.
Yeah.
But there was also, but she went up to a police officer and complained about the use of force against the protesters and the people being arrested. To which he said, oh, you want it that way then, do you? Got 20 officers and arrested them.
That sounds very sinister,
yeah.
And or, well, quite dodgy,
yeah.
In certain contexts.
Just to, you know, so we don't have to do anything with Mike, the legal guy, as he's been quiet the last couple of weeks. NYPD said it acted within the law and that they were allowed to.
These are all alleged.
Yeah, and even though, you know, their home office anti-terrorist group then got involved and claimed the road. Yeah, they claimed the road so they could get rid of the Occupy people. But essentially, Occupy Wall Street, London, whatever, is still going on, and it's stagnating a little bit in the arrest, but the protests are going to keep going. As you can tell, I slightly support it.
I'm going to allege that even the Patriot Act wasn't that bad, and they can't get away with this kind of stuff.
You'd be surprised. Patriot Act has in fact been used to move homeless people out of train stations.
That is true.
That's the length that it can stretch to. So,
I've never thought I'd hear the words even the Patriot Act wasn't that bad.
That's when times are bad, when the Patriot Act is seen as good policy making.
Yeah, but obviously there'll be more on the Occupy Wall Street stories coming up soon.
Should we talk about far more depressing things then?
Does it involve the two words Daily and Mail?
Sadly, it does.
Oh, God.
So the Daily Mail opinion on recession is, there are jobs, people don't want them, because they want to be on benefits and also immigrants take them. Now, I'm trusting that's not verbatim, is it, Adam?
No, I haven't actually changed it. That is one of the comments on the Daily Mail.
That's a comment.
That's a comment.
So that's a comment on the Daily Mail. That isn't the Daily Mail itself, but that's one of the readers.
From Peter Hitchens.
Isn't he in jail?
He's currently in jail for race hate.
Yeah. We've covered Peter Hitchens before, so he's currently in jail for some form of racial crime. Basically, the Daily Mail reader opinion on recession and the Daily Mail itself is that many job seekers can't even be bothered to turn up for interviews on time and lack the right attitude to work. A damning survey of employers revealed yesterday, according to the Daily Mail. Despite unemployment rocketing to a 17-year high this year, nearly half of employees said they could not find the right person for a job when they had a vacancy. They said candidates were hampered by poor literacy and numeracy. Just 30% of those surveyed, so, you know...
Who was surveyed?
Yeah. said that they find it easy, but 43% said that they find it quite or very difficult to find jobs. When asked why candidates were wrong for the jobs, many bosses said that they didn't even have the right attitude towards work. Others said some job hunters were lazy, so they could not even turn up for an interview on time. George Coucher, I think it is, chief executive of Derbyshire and Nottingham Chamber of Commerce, said, "A highly skilled workforce is absolutely crucial to the success of any business, but the results of this survey provide incontrovertible evidence of what our members have been telling us for some time, which is that people aren't skilled enough to get jobs, or they're just lazy." The survey was carried out in a job centre in Derby and one in Nottingham, and was all about high-end professional jobs not being taken up. Nottingham Chamber of Commerce said that the skilled workforce is essential to the economy, but many jobs that are available are for more specialist workers, so lower-end workers will find these jobs difficult to find employment in.
So essentially people aren't taking up the job of, let's say, an example of a neurosurgeon,
yeah,
because they're a bin man.
Yeah, because they haven't studied neuroscience.
I love what the Daily Mail do when always at the end paragraph they put something which completely contradicts or just... desensationalises everything they say.
The whole article was, people are too lazy and don't want jobs, and then the last it's that these jobs are for high-skilled workers and that's why no one's taking them on, because no one has relevant qualifications.
They're just so vague in like their details. Well, they say the word some and many and possibly, and it's like, so essentially, you're making this up. They get facts and figures and some quotes off what certain people have said, and then you go, well, this is our opinion, so let's just keep ramming them into that square hole until this circle opinion fits.
And also a survey of who, exactly?
Yeah.
They didn't actually say.
Of, I think,
eight
it's a
people.
Survey carried out in Nottingham and Derbyshire. So somewhere in there, there's businesses that have been asked, do you find it hard or...
Probably just asked in Aldi or something and just went, yeah, that's a survey.
It depends where they're asking. If they're asking at a doctor's, you know, do you have enough graduates? Or if they're asking at a local shop, say in Asda, other shops are available, if they can find workers or not, it's like, well, obviously, one of them, you're going to get a completely different answer to the other because they're not the same job and they don't require the same qualifications.
Yeah, and also on that list on the article, there was like 8 jobs and 3 of them were easy to walk into, and 5 of them required some kind of actual skill.
Yeah, there was things like computer programmer, support desk
engineer.
There was like data analyst. There was just jobs that you would need either relevant experience or qualifications in to do. So it's obvious people are just lazy.
Yeah.
Why aren't these people taking computer programming jobs when they don't have a degree in computer programming and have never used a computer before?
Why are lollipop ladies not taking night classes?
Yeah.
That's the question we need to ask about our economy.
And why aren't we educating people so they can do this stuff? Actually, that's not what they asked at all.
Yeah. Stop ruining the Daily Mail game.
Stop making a logical point about education. Stop it. That's not how we work.
To be fair, at least the Daily Mail stories have all gone, haven't they? So we can just get back onto happier news.
No, wait.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Still there. Oh, still dude. More. Well, they start another article by asking, have you ever heard the Intergenerational Foundation? No, because it was created days ago.
A great way to start any article. Make sure that you've done your thorough research. So when did it come into being? The 19th of October 2011?
They printed the article on the 19th of October.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I hadn't until yesterday, so... They'd have
printed it on the
20th. This story's on the 20th, yeah.
No, fair enough. Yeah. And yet this obscure organisation was wheeled out on the Today programme on Radio 4 and given the prime slot reserved for the most important issue of the day. It is described as a charity, and this is a big claim. It believes older people should be encouraged to move into smaller houses as part of the solution to housing crisis. It says that more than half of over 65s are in homes with 2 or more spare bedrooms, which could be pressed into greater use. And it claims that 25 million use their bedrooms in England. And they say, how gloriously simple. Why has nobody thought of it before? Don't panic, though, if you're an elderly homeowner, at least not yet. At any rate, for the time being, the suggestion, given such sympathetic and extensive treatment by the BBC, is that the aged should be coaxed, not forced, into giving up their supposedly larger houses.
So the Daily Mail is saying this is a charity that wants to get old people out of their homes to give to other people.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, but next you'll just be saying that this charity favours immigrants and you'd... Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You could write for the Daily Mail. I like how you've made that jump. that jump of logic from sort of quasi-facts into then further non-facts.
Well, next paragraph. One aggregating factor, which is scarcely ever mentioned in polite circles, is the high level of net immigration in this country. Last year, it amounted to 239,000, apparently. The population of the UK is expected to increase by 9 million to 70 million by 2012, largely because of immigration. But you don't know the immigration patterns in the next...
And we also said that there's been some form of net emigration from the country as well over the last few years. So yeah.
I think this is the first year it's grown in the past, well, a fair few years.
Yeah.
But these people will have to live somewhere, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, people need to live somewhere.
Sleep on the streets?
Think of it. In little more than a decade, our population will grow by the equivalent of 20 cities, the size of Sheffield or Leeds. In large measure because the Glass government did not control the influx of immigrants. That's the only reason, not like a large birth rate and small death rate.
Or the fact that we're in an open-bordered EU, which is, you know, the Daily Mail will probably have a go at that as well. But yeah. As far as I'm aware, the Conservatives also haven't done that much to stop immigration at the moment either.
No, but this is a left-leaning charity. Yeah. And
a Marxist communist organisation as well, I think we heard in the...
Just to go off the statistics of 239,000, that was published in a report for the 25th of August 2011, but commenting on statistics for the start of 2010.
Okay, so it's completely out of date then.
Yeah.
The Daily Mail game!
Yay! Yeah, so they can't read, is what I'm trying to say. But they say, basically, Stephen Glover, who runs it, is complaining that old people are going into care due to mental or physical illnesses are no longer living in their homes, and that a charity is then buying their houses to help people flee war and famine. So the Daily Mail, the liberal conservative paper?
What? It's liberal in, you know, it doesn't want immigrants killed yet.
They've even put that in the scare quotes there. Fair enough. Where property is mentioned in every article does not like people buying property to do with it as they please. As they say, the left tells people what to do with their property. Grow up, Glover, you fear-mongering idiot.
I might have added that in at the end.
So essentially, the idea is that they actually want people who are, say, mentally or physically ill who need to go into care to then... They want to buy up those houses to give to people who need houses.
Yeah, who are fleeing, you know, or being granted actual asylum into the country.
Or people who need council houses, for example. The statistic is that we don't build enough houses. We built 120,000 houses last year in the entire country.
Yeah, but those houses were for English people, so it was okay. You know, don't mind English people being homeless, but when English people are made homeless because immigrants come here, then the Daily Mail has to defend it.
Even if it's not true.
Yeah. And we looked on the website and all they said is the younger generation are being, well,
disadvantage.
Disadvantage compared to the older generation.
Yeah, the International Generational Foundation is basically, we want people who are going to live in the future generation to have the same sort of treatment as people nowadays, which is fair enough. So it's saying that people, say, who are 20 trying to get into the property ladder shouldn't be forced to buy huge mortgages or like get a tiny little house somewhere because there's an 8-bedroom mansion lived in by a man with severe Alzheimer's problems who can't look after himself.
So you know, essentially,
maybe people who are, and they call it bedroom blocking, which the paper put in scare quotes like it was this new buzzword, like, oh, you're bedroom blocking. Ooh. They were basically saying that people who were doing that kind of thing should, this charity wanted to like oust them from their house, like they were going to send bailiffs around and throw old people out onto the pavement and move in this new family of immigrants who were stealing benefits and not having a job.
And sending money home.
Yeah, this is essentially this will be like the last bastion. If this goes, then the Daily Mail will implode on itself through sheer anger.
So essentially, you know, the Daily Mail could be claimed to be a little bit racist at times, and now they're generationist. They hate young people.
Essentially, this is the biggest load of rubbish I've ever... Because it's like all speculation. It's like this thing launched 3 days ago, this little body, whatever it is, and they've gone, now they want to throw all our old people out of their homes. It's like, it's 3 days, calm down.
It's incredibly hypothetical.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, well, if trends continue it the same way, well, we don't know what trends are going to do. No one saw the banking crisis or anything like that. So it's like, how can we see anything coming in the future?
But that argument's completely ridiculous, because at one point in history, the Nazi party was only 3 days old.
Mm.
And look what they did.
Yeah.
So your argument's ridiculous, because it makes sense. Stop it. You're ruining the Daily Mail game. We've got to play in their rules.
Can we play a song now so I can go and cry?
Well, we should do a little bit of God and Satan by Biffy Clyro. We'll actually just cry over how stupid the Daily Mail are.
So that was Biffy Clyro with God and Satan, wasn't it?
Indeed.
Great song.
Moving on to the next story. Freedom!
News.
Worry. SNP leader Alex Salmond, who I quite enjoy mainly because he looks a bit like a poached egg, has issued an independent rallying call as he's warned the UK government that its days of telling the Scots what to do are over.
And giving them money.
Yes. He shook his fist while saying this.
Held a large sword.
And then an axe, and then a sword because of the continuation problems in Scotland going off Braveheart. But anyway,
that's very specific Braveheart references there. What we like to do on this.
Addressing his party's first conference since its landslide election win, the First Minister said Scotland needed independence to realise its potential of being bad at football, I imagine. The Scottish Government will stage an independence referendum towards the end of the five-year Parliament. Mr Salmond said a ballot paper question on more powers may be included so they could go to what they've called Max Devolution. Mr Salmond has accused the Westminster Coalition of £1 billion of deficit-reducing spending cuts to the Scottish budget and reaping the benefits of North Sea oil. But ahead of the forthcoming referendum, he told delegates in Inverness, the deal of Westminster politicians telling Scotland what to do... I realise that's not Scottish.
Don't do it. That is the worst thing I've ever heard.
The days of Westminster politicians telling Scotland what to do or what to think are over. Did we ever tell them what to think?
We did quite a long time ago.
Oh, well, okay.
We built a wall for a reason.
We didn't. The Italians came over and just did a little...
Even they didn't like him. Ring FM loves Scottish people.
Maybe they just need to look at themselves why, you know...
Stop painting yourselves blue. And charging at us.
You're not Avatar. Mr Salmond branded the UK government Scotland group a cabinet subcommittee to attack Scottish independence. He said, let's get this right, Cameron, Clegg, Osborne and Alexander. They sit in a committee working out how to do Scotland down, and they engage in this while the European monetary system teeters on the brink of collapse. Whilst the jobless total in England is at a 20-year high.
17-year high.
Well, he said 20.
So it's 70.
All right, Alex, sort your statistics out. And inflation more than double its target. Essentially, he just wants a bit of a, you know, referendum at the end of the five-year parliament in
Scotland.
Well,
you're not having one.
Yeah. Well, they are the Scottish National Party, so if they didn't, it'd be, well, what would they exist for?
Nothing.
To just be angry?
Fried Mars bars.
Don't know, really. But if they lose it, what's going to happen? Because...
I don't know. We'll just continue giving them money, I suppose.
That's quite depressing, actually. Why can't they just go? Seriously?
What we need is a really, really big chainsaw, and we'll cut down the border and push them into the North Sea, right?
Just let them become part of Iceland or something.
Mm. I don't know. I'm not necessarily against keeping supporting them, just because I worry if they go independent that a lot of people are going to starve and so on, or not get quality services like they do now. Like free prescriptions and so on.
And free university.
Yeah, but we have to pay for that, so I'd rather they went so we could get it. Just putting that out there.
What are they going to do? Like, I suggested some weeks ago that Greece should nationalise the plate industry. I think if Scotland go independent, they're going to have to steal the patent to the deep fat fryer.
Yeah.
And tartan.
Well, they've got the whiskey industry, which, no joke, is their biggest export is just whiskey. They are built on it. So, that's the one thing they've got. Other than that...
I don't know. If they drink enough whiskey, I suppose, they won't feel the cold, so they don't need, like, heating for the winter.
That's fair enough. Heating bills will be down.
Got some oil. But that's finite, obviously.
Other than that, what actually have they got?
I don't know. They've got really bad football teams.
To be fair, they wouldn't actually need any oil because they could just power all of Scotland off the sheer hatred for England. Yeah. If they find some way of connecting that up to the mains, then they'd be fine. But, yeah, I feel quite bad now.
In summary, Scotland, don't do it.
For your own good.
Yeah, for your own good. I mean, we don't care. But, but if you would like to continue to have your children educated, you should probably stay in the UK.
Yeah, if you want to keep affording blue paint to paint yourself up every couple hundred years, you know, you're going to need to stay in here.
Plus, we have given you some kind of autonomy, so it's not all bad.
And they get our reject football players.
Mm. Oh, very true.
So, Tom Kearney.
El Hadj Diouf.
Chris Commons.
El Hadj Diouf?
For the national team.
I thought you went to the SPL.
No, I'm talking about national teams. Oh, so fair enough. They can, you know, make songs of not coming home too soon for a certain World Cup. But yeah, Scotland still want to be independent, and it's still a little bit ridiculous, to be honest.
Silly.
It's not thought through properly, is what you could say.
Basically. You could say, Adam, that the situation is a bit of a ticking time bomb.
It was. You could say that indeed, Ben.
That is a great link for our next
one. And you have a go at me for my links.
Well, you suggested it, I just delivered it. And the song is Tick Tick Boom by The Hives. We hope.
Ben's
technology. There we are. Tick tick boom for the Hives. Technology seems to be failing us here. It just does not want us to use that jingle.
I think it's just your fault anyway. But
20-second fade out. This is what we have to deal with.
Euro economy eradicates economic excitement everywhere. News.
Bit of a mouthful.
It is. It's Greece.
The floating plate industry. So essentially everyone knows that Greece is having a bit of a hard time. The European Commission, the European Central Bank and the IMF have all been in Athens reviewing Greece's debt reduction program. At stake is its next payout of all its bailout money, and the government basically needs to pay its bills. This is the money from the 110 billion euro bailout, which is $148 billion or £95 billion in real money, that was agreed last summer. Eurozone leaders have subsequently agreed another 109 billion euro package, but this is yet to be fully ratified by member states. And it comes as Greece announced that its 2011 deficit is projected to be 8.5% of its GDP, which is down from the 10.5% in 2010, but short of the target set by the EU and the IMF, which was 7.6%.
That is a bad target to have.
Yeah. Basically, the aim of all this bailout problem, if you don't keep up on European news, is to shore up its economy, because the financial markets are going absolutely crazy, because there's thought to be debt that is encompassing the entire of Europe that everyone sort of has a bit of an issue with. So it's to stop this contagion, they say, spreading to other debt-laden European economies. However, despite denials from some leading member countries, particularly Germany, there is a growing feeling in the markets that Greece will default on its debts. And many people think it's pretty much inevitable that it will. Now, the whole reason they've got into this situation, which we talked about before last year with Tom when he was here, is that they just don't pay tax. And ever since they joined the euro, I think we have the fact here is that It was essentially they doubled public sector's pay rises. So essentially people's wages doubled in, say, 10 years. Mm. And also the fact is that though they're not rich by EU standards, Greece has got a lot of millionaires and oligarchs. And now, however, their contribution to tax revenues is basically nothing. Fewer than 5,000 Greek citizens declare annual incomes of more than 100,000 euros. So out of, what is it, 11 million people, did you say?
Yeah.
That live in Greece, only 5,000 people apparently earn more than 100,000. And although more than 60,000 Greek households have investments in cash and securities exceeding 1 million euros. So there's a little discrepancy there between those 60,000 people that do have a million euros and some of the crossover from the 5,000 people that don't.
Can't they just look in their bank account? It's difficult, unless they just hoard all their money on the bed.
Accounts, but hidden in plates. I mean, more ridiculous, it says here, is the fact that many people with, say, a house, a cottage in the country, two cars and maybe a small boat, regularly assert that they are earning about $15,900 a year, according to the New York Times report on Greece. So essentially, they were like, no, we just found these boats and houses and we're squatting them. We don't have enough money to buy them. Don't charge us tax.
Yeah, even though my pay doubled in the past 10 years, yeah. I still only earn $16,000 a year.
And also the other thing was that people not paying council tax by deciding not to finish buildings. So we had this conversation, is they would leave a window unfinished or scaffolding on the side and they would pay no tax.
There was one article I read, and this is the only economic opinion I can put forward through my sheer economic knowledge, but from 2004 to 2006, if you said that you were giving some money to charity, that counted as being tax deductible. You didn't have to. And apparently loads of people just went, oh, yeah, I paid some money to charity. But they never asked for any details.
Yeah, I paid my entire income to a local charity. What charity is that? It doesn't matter.
Oh, it's really small. You've probably never heard of it.
The charity may have been registered in my own name. But this is Switzerland, honestly. The whole situation, yeah. So it has debts that need to be paid back, and it couldn't afford to borrow the money from financial markets. So now, not even a country, right, an entire country can't even get a loan. Not an individual person, not a government, it's the entire country.
Have they never heard of Wonga loans? You get it in minutes.
Or the cash lending
loan
site.
Loan sharking sites are available.
Places that'll break your leg. Alleged. Not even alleged, it's just a lie. I don't want to get Wonga to come down on us. He'd probably do a good job. The idea was to give Greece time to sort out its economy so that the cost for it to borrow money commercially would then come down so it could actually stop relying on other governments. But that just didn't happen. And indeed, the ratings agency, which is responsible for rating credit, so, you know, if you're AAA rated, then you're very trustworthy all the way down to the bottom, and recently decided that Greece was the least credit-worthy country it monitors, so it's pretty far down there. So as a result, it's got lots of debts that need to be paid, but it can't afford to borrow any money to pay them back, which seems stupid anyway, that they've got debts to pay and they're now getting more debts to pay back debts. Seems like they've built that little spiral on something incorrect down there.
Do you really think it was a good idea for them to have the Olympics?
No.
No.
But one thing that... There's a big BBC article on it, if you go and read that. It's a really great article. They've got a lot of things on, so if you're interested at all in that, go to the BBC.
Or if you just want to cry at night.
Yeah. So a lot of people think, could the crisis spread? Well, maybe it could, because if Greece kind of default on their loan, we said it before, the euro would take a really big hit. And if they eventually go back to the drachma instead of the euro, they may end up forcing other people to also say, well, if Greece have left, then we'll leave. Could leave Europe in a pretty big mess.
The issue is do they even have, you know, the drachma? It's apparently the only currency that European countries have enough of, bar the dollar, is the pound.
So I presume they just print some new ones.
Empire through the back door. We could get the European empire. And when we could get America back... It's all linked.
It's all working. And further, what would happen if Greece defaulted? Basically, it's going to be very painful because there's a lot of people who aren't going to get their money back. Someone suggested actually that, what was it, a 50% write-off of their debts and they would still be in trouble. So if someone went, right, well, half what you owe, they will still be in trouble.
We need some kind of, like, live aid, you know...
For Greece.
You know, write off the Greek debt.
Write off the Greek debt, the poor.
Where's Bob Geldof?
The plate industry. But basically, throughout this whole article, the BBC decided to give us a really awesome little flow chart of how the world could possibly end. It was basically... They started by saying, what does this all mean to the UK? Now, it's a little bit boring, this whole section, if you don't like economics, but it's kind of important from a UK perspective, is that according to the figures from the Bank of International Settlements, which is the people who deal with all these debts, UK banks hold a relatively small $3.4 billion, or £2.1 billion. So only, you know, we only are missing £2.1 billion. Worth of the Greek sovereign debt, compared with banks in Germany, say, which hold $22.6 billion in France, which holds $15 billion. So we are relatively unexposed. But when you add in the other forms of Greek debt, such as lending to private banks, we then have $14.6 billion.
Ouch.
Yeah. So try, like, £10 billion more pounds. So while it wouldn't do as much damage to us as, say, it would to Germany or France, the knock-on from Greece's thing is that it would exacerbate the US's exposure to the Irish debt, which is much larger. Because if Greece goes down... then Ireland may be like, well, we can get out of the euro as well. And that will just cause huge problems. And there's huge knock-on effects, which is the big worrying thing. Whilst our direct contribution to the bailout is fairly small, because we're not in the Eurozone, so we don't give as much, but we are in the IMF. The BBC, based on this nice flow chart, gave us lots of things like, what would happen if Greece paid their debt back, and what if it was successful? They'd be like, you know, they would do well, they would get their austerity package in, it'd be 10 years of pain, then it'd be okay. But basically the five sort of ending points for, it is five, yeah, that the BBC envisioned the situation could end in was a Pyrrhic victory, that, you know, after 10 years of sort of pain, Greece would be okay. Depression, which was that the entire Eurozone would go into depression, horrible, horrible, huge and long-felt recession.
Yeah, that was the second worst option.
Moral hazard, which I didn't really understand. It's more of just they didn't pay their money back, and does that cause a knock-on effect of people not paying their money back? Political turmoil, next on the list, you know.
Isn't there already that anyway?
Probably a small worry is political turmoil and anarchy. And then global depression.
I've got that already.
Yeah, so essentially, one of five ways this could go, the world is going to end come the day Greece defaults on its debt and has to sell the plate industry.
So essentially, everyone just plan for a very, very cheap Christmas, or just tell your kids that it's Santa's not coming this year.
He spent too much on his credit card.
And he doesn't even have a job. Some say he's not real. I wouldn't back that up.
Well, that awkward silence is you just destroying my dream.
Essentially, Greece, you've messed up and you've ruined it for everyone else.
Yeah, yeah. I feel sorry for the people who did actually pay taxes at some point. What are they going to do? Just sit there, cry?
It is kind of like, well, the millionaires have got us into this problem, and then now they're all just left the country. Like, well, I'll just go on holiday in my mansion in Spain. I don't care. And they'll leave and never come back.
Yeah. Never going to finish the Acropolis now, either.
No.
It's outrageous.
Talking about things that are going to be quite hard to sort out, we should probably have Oasis on now with She's Electric.
Smooth. Was Oasis. And it's coming towards the end of the show now. just a little quick rundown. We are on Facebook and Twitter. It's Facebook is This Week in Lies. Twitter is at This Week in Lies.
Other things are available.
Other social networking sites are available. We do have an email if you want to get in touch with us directly, which is
This Week in Lies, which is obviously spelt normally.
Yeah.
At hotmail.co.uk.
Cool. Again, apologies for any technical difficulties. We can't hear it, so if there is problems on the outside, we can't hear it. So, you know, if you have had any problems, we apologise for that. It's something to do with some rat somewhere in something that does something.
I know it's upsetting, but you've got to deal with it.
Yeah. And now we're moving on to the news that wasn't reported this week. Why is that, Adam?
Because I made it up.
Because it's all lies. So don't sue us.
Liam Fox is to set up a personal inquiry into his conduct in office, headed by Adam Werity. That wasn't reported by the Daily Telegraph.
Daily Star didn't report this week that paedophiles are genetically different to normal people, says Kelly, 19, from Bristol.
The National Immigrant Institute plans invasion of British culture. That probably wasn't reported by the Daily Mail.
We never know.
And there's yet another political scandal, and you don't even care, say the Guardian.
And Rupert Murdoch has been convicted of destruction of the press, football, corruption and embezzlement, and is to serve life in prison. And that wasn't reported by the News of the World. And ironically, nothing else was reported by the News of the World.
Still missing.
Don't know where they've gone. But is that pretty much it, Ben?
We've got another minute.
Oh, well, I thought I wrote enough jokes for a minute. Sorry about that, mate. If you want a bit of a joke, Liverpool's finishing is a bit of a joke at the moment.
Adam's sat here watching the live text updates of his beloved Liverpool, who are currently drawing 1-1 with Norwich. Coming up after us is the news in another minute. What are we going to do for a minute?
Well, what we could do for a minute is we could also tell you that on iTunes, if you search This Week in Lies, you will find Series 1 and Series 2. Mm. And when we get round to actually getting Episode 1 of Series 3 off of the computer, which Mr. David Fisher, who I'm looking at currently, should be doing tomorrow and should be editing it, and Episode 2 if he feels like it.
Yeah. Won't take long.
How do you find us on iTunes?
You go on podcasts on the iTunes store. Mm. If you click store on the left-hand column. It's that simple.
Detailed.
You then search This Week in Lies, and it will come up with us.
Yeah, there are two feeds, aren't there? One of them's only got one episode in. That's just like a hangover from when we first did it, when it didn't work properly. So if you search that up, you can subscribe to us, and what we'll do is we try to put them up weekly. But currently a little bit behind because we all just moved back to uni and we've got a lot of different things going on.
And Football Manager's just come out.
Yeah. Other life absorbing games are available.
Yeah. And please do correspond, because we do appreciate
it. Yeah, we do. We really do like that. So we're going to leave you now with the news. Thanks very much for listening, and we hope to see you next week.
Indeed. Civvies later. Goodbye.
Bye.